Hello, hello, hello. Team Spirit here, your man behind the mic. Welcome to yet another bumper edition of Team Spirit Podcast, proudly brought to you by your favorite paper, City Press. This is your weekly one spot sporting analyst podcast without fear or favor, where everything and anything goes. In this week's edition, we look at the weekend that was. Dice up what we witnessed and what it means from our more than 40-year combined experience in the industry. You know, from the first edition to this edition, a lot has happened on and off the field. So this is where we're going to dissect everything. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm with my main, my right-hand man, the co-pilot of this project, the man called Daniel Trompies Mutuahai, also known as the 12th man. What we'll look at this week, we're going to look at what happened on Monday night. Everybody was looking forward to the MTN 8 semi-finals draw. It was so interesting what was happening on social media with AmaZulu supporters saying, please give us Orlando Pirates. Orlando Pirates supporters saying, please give us AmaZulu or Kaizer Chiefs. Sundowns raising their heads saying, give us anyone. Give us any of the three. But as luck would have it, we have Sundowns against Orlando Pirates. We've got AmaZulu against Kaizer Chiefs. Remember, these are two-legged semifinals, but we'll go back to that one. Few issues on the table. What happened at Danny Craven's Stadium in Stellenbosch? Do you agree that a game of that magnitude between Stellenbosch, Stellies, and Kaizer Chiefs should go to a stadium with only 17,000 capacity? But the new man on the ground, Mamelodi Sundowns, new player from South America, reports say he was bought for 51 million rand, the highest ever, history making. Is this the way to go? The issue of financial fair play, once again, has read its ugly head. But also, speaking of the man from South America, surprisingly, he was on the field a day or 2 days after he landed in the country. We're still waiting to see Dalen Kale of Mrogo Swallows. They say the issue of work permit has never happened. Where are the problems? But like I said, I'm with Daniel Mutuahe here. Trompies, welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Nkhonne. Fresh from the grandstands, you know me. I'm the 12th man, the big supporter of this game of football. As always, thank you and what a spirit.
Thanks. Let's start with the MTN 8. Where's your money on?
Well. They've got their money, which is the 8 million winner takes all. That's what they call it, because everything is about the figure 8 there. Looking at the fixture, I think it's more or less what anyone could have anticipated. Yes, you wouldn't wish for a Soweto derby to happen, you know, just one leg before the final, even though like this is a two-legged fixture, that is the semi-final. Yeah, but I think it's quite fair, quite appetizing that, you know, you can still look forward to a great final, considering the pairing of Chiefs facing AmaZulu. The expectation is that Chiefs will beat AmaZulu, but you'll never know. And then, of course, the Mamelodi Sundowns Orlando Pirates is still regarded as the final before the final. But, yeah, once again, we know what can happen in Soweto in favor of Pirates, that is, as well as, you know, previously what Sundowns has done to Pirates on their visit in Pretoria.
Do you know, Kaizer Chiefs is playing AmaZulu this weekend. It's so surprising or interesting. They'll have three games, you know. I'm not sure if they'll be back-to-back, but it's something that we can always look forward to. I mean, we saw Sundowns playing SuperSport over the weekend. They're playing again on Friday. If you were in any coach's shoes, how do you approach the two different games?
I think it's quite difficult for the fact that obviously the first game will give you an idea. They'll figure each other out and see exactly what is running through one's mind, the type of players they have, the approach on the day itself. It can be quite tricky. We saw it happening with Royal AM and Pirates, you know, those back-to-back fixtures. Even Jose Rivero actually indicated when they first played Royal AM in the league, beating them, and then he said, you know, a cup competition is always a totally different game. And we saw how it panned out, the outcome itself. You know, Royal AM nearly got back, came back from behind, you know, to push that game further. But yeah, Pirates sort of had a huge sigh of relief in the end, you know, to edge them once more in the cup. So it is quite tricky, really, to play the same opponent over and over again, because you can't really predict if they are going to be coming with the same lineup, you know, same formation, and you know, just the general approach to the game.
Okay, I think that's enough of MTN 8. We'll still talk about it when the time gets closer to the semifinals. But don't forget that these are two-legged semifinals. It's the winner takes all. That's why it's called Wafa Wafa. Whether you lose in the final or you lose in the first round, you get 800,000, and only the winner will get 8 million rand. But we saw something happening on Sunday at Danny Craven Stadium in Stellenbosch. My little research tells me that when it comes to cup matches, it's 40% the home team, 40% the away team, 20% to the league in terms of gate takings. But what's surprising is that Stellenbosch, because they didn't want to lose their home ground advantage, they still decided that, no, we're going to take the game to our own stadium. We saw what happened. The game had to be delayed by 15 minutes. Again, a further 15 minutes were added. What do you make of such decisions? Isn't it time that the league should enforce some of the rules?
Remember, Spirit, our football previously was beset by incidents of stampede. So it looks like, you know, those are some of the previous lessons that we sort of not really want to learn from. I mean, that's the worst thing that can happen at any Chiefs game that is staged at a cramped venue, so to say. The signs were there at the previous Chiefs matches. Tickets, the allocation that they had for their game against Richards Bay at Moses Mabhida sold out. Against Cape Town City in Cape Town, Chiefs match was sold out. Then you expect a 16,000 seater, which is more or less like, you know, your campus venue type. And then you bring, you know, one of the best followed team in the country with such a big support base. I mean, people as we speak, we saw how they've been turning out for PSL matches because of you know, such a long time we've been under lockdown. And I was not surprised that the game was going to be delayed because of the high volumes of people who were still trying to make their way into the stadium. And I think it's high time that the PSL also should look harshly into some of these decisions. Yes, you have a club that has got the right not to lose a home ground advantage, but for the safety of the fans, safety must come first. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be facing with another stampede waiting to happen. So for me, it was a no-no that you bring Chiefs to such a small stadium and then you expect everything to run smoothly. And it didn't end well as well, because immediately after the final whistle, fans just invaded the pitch. And it also happened during the game, because remember, there was a slight delay as well where a few fans invaded the pitch.
But it's not the first time that this happened. Remember the now defunct Bidvest Wits. They also insisted on hosting matches at their cramped Bidvest Stadium. But there were no incidents there that were reported. Is it the question of security, the question of more planning needed ahead of such games?
Absolutely, you need that. For that, you need to support looking at, you know, all the logistics around organizing such game. Number one, like I said, put the safety of the supporters first. I mean, the more the security, the more the personnel that is manning everything from traffic to the people. Because remember, even the picture that we saw there, you had this people crammed on the grandstand, and not far off, you had like, I mean, check the number of cars that were parked right inside the stadium itself. And if you go back, these are some of the recommendations that came out, you know, following the inquiry into the previous stampedes, where there are certain measures that must be taken into consideration. You can't have so many cars and people all crammed in one place. I mean, should anything happen, emergency happens there, then we are in for matata mahab.
Hey, you know, it reminded me of my days at Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso. You go to a cramped stadium, although it will be like a 40,000-seater, but it will be cramped. Like even Chichiri Stadium in Malawi, my first time there, it was so cramped, you know, we didn't know what to do. But let's hope it's lesson learned. But the good things is to see supporters coming back in numbers.
Yeah, the 12 men, quite important for the teams, because for me, is the product that has been delivered on the field of play itself. We've seen, you know, the rising standard of play. We're no longer now watching that boring type of football. You see, the intensity also is too high, at least. Even in some of the games that ended goalless, but all in all, we are satisfied with play, and it's all thanks to the 12 men on the grandstand.
Obviously, when we've been waiting for our football to come back, we didn't think of controversies that go with it. This is a match officiating, but as we've seen even this weekend. Yeah, there were matches where there were some dubious decisions. I saw, was it our man Chavani who gave a penalty and reversed it, rightfully so. But there were other incidents that you felt that they should have been punished.
Yes, for sure. Take the Stelis Kaizer Chiefs game, for instance. You have a player who committed a professional foul on an attacking player while he was on clear side towards goal, and instead of a red card being given, you know, that player got away with a yellow card. And, you know, from, I mean, we just mentioned Jelly Chavani, he should have learned from, you know, previous incidents where he had to be sanctioned and, you know, got suspended because of inconsistent officiating. And we saw a number of incidents that also happened under watch from an experienced fellow like Lutolo Badi, also Ayabonga Tom as well, failing to control the situation in the game. And I mean, you'll expect better from experienced referees. You'll understand if it was somebody new. But yeah, I felt that also that fracas that happened towards the end of the Pirates Royal AM game, you know, some harsh decision could have been added to the already double sent off that happened. Thabo Matlaba should have been sent off because he was also involved in the stamping of the player. And I feel that SAFA still, the referees committee still have a lot to do in terms of the reviews, because we still want to see ourselves being at the same level as your EPL by Monday. You know, if there were some mistaken identities, for instance, if a player was sent off by mistake, that card can be rescinded and all of that. So I believe that the Mondays should be the day when everything is being cleared, and we can't be sitting with this incident, you know, over and over again without being resolved.
You know, and now you're speaking of SAFA committees. There are no committees. You know, since the elections in June, the NEC has never met, meaning we don't know who's heading which committee. But, you know, that's not surprising. But that's a story for another day. Speaking of the new Sundowns player, it's been reported that Sundowns paid or forked out about 51 million. Obviously, the buzzword now is financial fair play, which my little research tells me that it's about clubs having to spend what they could generate. But if Sundowns were to pay 51 million, even if they were to win all the cup competitions in the league, including the championship, it won't even get to 51 million. Obviously, it says the playing fields are not leveled. Sundowns is way above everyone else. Is it time that the league or whoever is in charge of football in South Africa introduces financial fair play? If so, why?
Yeah, in my view, it's both good and bad for our football. Good in a way that the more you bring top players in the league, it ups the competition. But bad in a way that it also creates a one-sided environment that we've already seen. And I think Gavin Hunt has already touch on that using the very same, speaking specifically about Sundowns, how they've turned this show into just a one-sided affair because of obvious reasons. You can't compete them in terms of the depth that they have in their squad. And I mean, we've seen how financial fair play has worked in Europe. That's that was the only way, you know, to neutralize the likes of Bo Barcelona, Bo Man City, you know, not just to sign every player that you can think of, a star player in the world. And, you know, for all their flaws, Safa, I think one of the refreshing statement that was made by Danny Jordan recently was that maybe it's about time they, as the National Football Association, must engage the PSL on this issue of financial fair play as well as their squad limits, because you can imagine how many players Sundowns have in their books. Yes, they are not all keeping them at Eurocup. Some are being distributed around the clubs, going on loan. And of course, yes, Sundowns, they look at the bigger picture, which is continental football. You know, they want to compete at all fronts with a fresh squad. But yes, to bring it back to your question, I mean, it really, it's an imbalanced equation if you ask me. And then we're gonna be sitting with this obvious predictable result of Sundowns winning everything, if not everything, the league per se, you know, season in, season out.
Yeah, but you know, football is all about unpredictability. You should not go to a game knowing that you're going to lose. And this is what we've been seeing with Sundowns. Hopefully that won't be the case going forward. And then we want to see a competitive league. But we won't finish our podcast without talking about the return of prodigal son Itumele Nkune. The last game was in the MTN 8 last season. First game, MTN 8 again this time around, and then he stopped two penalties. What did you make of his comeback? Is this the Kune that we used to know?
Sure, what an incredible story about Kune. I mean, you look, for starters, it was nice to see Elina Kune, you know, making those reflexes, those cat-like summers, diving and stuff, which reminded us of the Kune we knew. And, you know, it was sort of scripted. You'd expect Kune to make a difference in a Chiefs that has been struggling. Yes, we saw they also committed the same mistake that they've done in their previous game, you know, a defensive blunder, and you can't fault him for conceding that goal. But for the fact that he kept Chiefs in the game, and then all the way to the penalties, saving those penalties, taking Chiefs into the semifinals, I think Pune was what Chiefs needed, the more so because they lacked leadership at the back. They needed a leader in their pack, considering that the likes of Parker, Ramahlo Mphahlele are all gone. And, you know, they were just sitting with all those youngsters in the team. So Kune, I think he provided leadership more than anything else, because there's no doubt about his talent. You know, a fit Kune can win you everything. And remember, even at Bafana, they used to say that even a Kune on crutches can win you a game at any given time. But, you know, I think credit should go to all the people who made sure that they prepared him from being that bomber to Elina Kune, like I said, you know, who was right on his toes, you know, full of energy, commanding his place well. And I think, yeah, it was inevitable that that packed crowd, you know, shouted his name throughout, and it was like his show, and deservedly so.
Did you say bomber? The only thing that comes to mind is a bomber jacket. But anyway, we leave there. Finally, Banyana wa ke bafana, bafana wa ke banyana. You know, my kids always say I can't sing. Banyana versus Brazil back-to-back starting this weekend.
Yo, yeah, what a nice fixture. And, you know, fresh from being crowned the African champions, your next opponent, you deserve better. And I think that's what Banyana have been offered, an opponent in the caliber of Brazil, who are also who sometime in July crowned the Copa America Feminina champions. We are in for quite an exciting fixture. The question will be, I would have loved to see Marta there, but you know, she had that terrible knee injury where she had to operate, and obviously, if she doesn't make it, hard luck. It's, like I say, quite a serious injury. And yeah, we'll see what they have in store for us. But what SAFA has been promised is that Brazil will bring all their A-team players to the country. And I think we are in for a very interesting game, considering that the two teams, I think, Banyana, where they are right now, they play a similar style of Brazil, quite comfortable on the ball. You have Boma Pencil, they can do their thing, you know, dance with the ball. Let's hope the crowd turns up and then they get entertained to that. And then don't forget that in our previous meeting with the Brazilian women's team, right at the Olympics that they hosted, Banyana held them to a goalless draw with Marta in the team. And you can imagine, I mean, they are in Soweto, the Samba girls. Let's see what comes out there. But I'm excited, optimistic.
But, I mean, I'm not happy because my player of the tournament from AFCON, she's not there. I don't know what happened to our golden girl, Nokumatlo. She's not in the team. Any reason why she was not called up?
Well, from my side, I will be lying if I would say I know the exact reasons. But remember what Desiree also is trying to do, considering that she still has the core of the team that won the tournament. She's also trying out new players. She's got about three in the team. And yeah, let's see, hopefully, because remember with Noko as well, being at her advanced age, and you know, these are the kind of players that you also need to use sparingly. You can't be expected to play them week in, week out, well, for national team's sake, for them to be there all the time, because she's also based overseas. So, yeah, I think you also need to create that type of a balance.
Anyway, as they always say, you can't please all the people all the time. I think this is the time that we had for today. We'll be bringing you all the hits, misses, and predictions from the sporting field every Tuesday. Simply visit our website citypress.co.za for more sporting stories and join the conversation on our social media platforms. The 12 men, thank you, my brother, as always.
This is the final whistle.